Good morning, everyone. Last week, we've established that we're not dogs if we drink coffee in public. And I'm very happy that we're not dogs, but as I ended last week, that was small potatoes compared to what we're about to deal with today regarding drinking or eating on the go. Because being called a good dog and being disqualified, perhaps, for a testimony in a Jewish court is a challenge. I'm not going to say it's comfortable. But perhaps, even if everything we said last week and the week before was wrong, we can live with it. But this week, you can't live with it, because we were taught as kids that before you put anything in your mouth, what are you supposed to do?
Make a bracha.
Make a bracha. The question we're going to deal with today, and we're not going to finish today, is what happens if you start eating here in this room, and then you go outside to your car, and you continue eating in your car? And then from your car, you go into your office and you continue eating in your office. So let's take a case scenario. You take a cup of coffee in the morning, you put it into your cup, you make a shahakal as properly ordained by our sages, you drink a little bit in the house, and then you walk down the steps of your house to the car. And you get into the car. Do you make another bracha? No, everyone here says no. Interesting. Then, from the car, you start driving. You're not making your other bracha, according to the table here. You go, and you eventually get to your office. You park your car, you go up the stairs, you go into the office. Do you make another bracha?
No.
No. Why is everyone saying no?
Because
you have an inmark. Interesting. Good, you didn't say anything. Everyone else, you're about to be shot in the head, except for one. Let's learn a beautiful sugya together. Obviously, our sages did not deal with coffee on the go. Anyone here can guess where we can find a precedent for where is your place of eating? Where in halacha is there some law that says you have to do something in a certain place?
A sukkah.
A sukkah is a very good example where you have to eat in the sukkah, but I'm saying something where you have to have something done in a place. Korban Pesach can only be eaten in Yerushalayim. A sukkah on Sukkis. Everyone, anything else?
Maybe Kiddush.
Ein Kiddush.
Elo
b'makom Se'uda. You can only make Kiddush in the makom of your Se'uda, in the place of your meal.
Oh.
Now, every one of us have been to what's colloquially called
Kiddush.
What is the place for Kiddush? That is the precedent in halacha for dealing with this issue of coffee on the go. There's no coffee on the go in Chazal, but we have a Torah Shebaal Peh, and we have to now apply it to a new situation. And what is the new situation? Coffee on the go. Eating on the go. Starting to eat here, finishing over there. The precedent we have in Halacha is Kiddush b'makom Se'uda. How do our sages define makom for the sake of Kiddush? So if you make Kiddush in this room, let's say, and then outside there is where the kugel is, outside this door, is that considered Kiddush b'makom Se'uda or not? Let's learn the Gemara. Don't guess, because the first time you guessed, you were all wrong, and that's not going to fly well. Everyone's going to listen to this and think there's only Amaratzim around the table. It's not good. So let's learn the Gemara together. Masechet Pesachim. Daf Kuf Aleph, Amud Aleph, through Kuf Bet Amud Aleph. Long sugya. Yotev Rav Idi Bar Avin kami de Rav Chizda. Rav Idi Bar Avin was sitting before Rav Chizda. V'yotev Rav Chizda. And Rav Chizda was also sitting down. So you understand they were all sitting down. Is that what it means? This is not a Talmud class, but in the Gemara when it says Yotev, it doesn't mean sitting down. It means they were learning together, obviously. They kamar mishmei de Rav Huna. They said something in the name of Rav Huna. Hada amarta shinui makom tzarich levarech. What you said, that when you change your place, you have to make another bracha. Sorry, everyone. Lo shanu ela mi bayit lebayit. Aba mi makom lemakom. Lo. When we said you have to make another bracha when you change your place, we were only talking about what? Moving from
house
to house, but in the same house, no. So first and foremost, from this Gemara, if you make Kiddush in this room, but the actual kugel's in the lobby, probably you don't have to be worried. Kiddush b'makom Se'uda is considered makom if it's in the same building. So within the same building, we're all right. There's a small little machlokas here. I'll just bring it up, as you can see under the Gemara. The Shulchan Aruch the Rav Yosef Karo is a bit more machmir. He says that this is talking about the following: about im diberimo b'toch habayit afal pishishinam ha'makomo mipina lepina ein tzarich levarach. And that's exactly what it says with regard to kiddush in a different place. En kiddush ela b'makom seuda u'bebayit echad mipina lepina chashuv makom echad. So it seems like the Shulchan Aruch is pretty machmir when he reads this Gemara. How does he define makom lemakom, place to place in the same building? What's pina lepina? A corner to a corner. So perhaps two different rooms would have been a problem or can be a problem for the Shulchan Aruch. The Rama, that we paskin like us Ashkenazim around this table, is much more lenient, as you can see in the middle. Rashi on that Gemara says, mi bayit la aliyah. That doesn't mean corner to corner. What's bayit? In the times of Rashi, the bayit was the place you lived. And what's the aliyah? It's not aliyah to Israel. It's not aliyah to the Torah. It's the attic. So obviously, if you're going from this floor to the attic, you're not going from a corner to a corner. And indeed, the Rama Paskin's Haga on that Shulchan Aruch, he disagrees a bit and says, "Im ayada atol lechol b'makom acher, lo mikre shinui makom." If you have in mind, as people around this table said, that you're going to continue your meal someone else, it's not considered shinui makom, but v'hu sheyesh dei mekomot b'bayit echad. As long as the two places are in the same... Anyone? Building. The Rama repeats this in Kiddush. Same. Good question. It could be that of an apartment building would be a question here. I would assume perhaps not. The reason I say that even in the same building, you would not necessarily need to make another bracha, though it is a point of contention, even though you're going from one apartment to another, and each one is owned by someone else, is because it could very well be that the staircase makes us all into one meshutav chatzer. One meshutav chatzer in halachic language means that you're in one place. I'm just throwing it out. I'm not saying it's totally agreed by all poskim. I'm throwing it out there because we have other precedents in halacha where we consider the building as a building, as one unit, even though everyone has their own little apartment that they own. Just to give you one example of that, where do you light your Chanukah menorah? So we pause and you light it bepetach ha-chatzer. So where's your chatzer if you live in an apartment building? I'm a chlokes between the Chazon Ish and Rav Yosef Zev Halevi, Rav Yitzchak Zev Halevi Soloveitchik, the uncle of the Rav Soloveitchik we like to quote. One felt that you're supposed to light your Chanukah menorah, not at the apartment building in the entrance to your apartment, but rather where? Entrance of the apartment, building, because that staircase makes it all into one. This would have another ramification for Eruv Chatzeros. Do you need to make an Eruv Chatzeros within one building? Probably yes. And indeed, because we do have an Eruv Chatzeros in most of our cities where we have an Eruv, perhaps that would flow over here. So let's say that within the same apartment building, we're okay, according to the Ramah. Bebayit Echad, though, as you pointed out, perhaps means it has to be owned by one person. But I would say, even in one apartment building, I could see the heter. Rama goes in Hilchos Kiddush, v'yesh omim shim kiddush b'makom echad adat l'echol b'makom ocher shaper dami, v'hu sh'shnei mekomot b'bayit echad, kigon mi'cheder l'cheder o mi'igul l'ara. The Mishnah Berurah says, just adds on, tachad gag echad, if it's under one roof. So perhaps, again, our apartment building is okay. There is a Rama, however, in Hilchos Kiddush that says something even more lenient, and that is, mi'bayit l'suka, chashiv kemipina l'pina. If you go from your house to your sukkah, again, I think the Rama here is talking about a sukkah close to the house, not 5 miles away, then it's also considered like mipina lepina. So, to sum up, if you're in the same house, you can make a bracha here and continue eating there. Shulchan Aruch is a little more machmir. It says it has to be from one corner to another. But the Rama says even from one room to another room, one floor to another floor, as long as it's under one roof, we're okay.
The sukkah is not under the same roof.
The sukkah is a chiddush, and the Shmira Shabbos Kehilchata that I quoted on the bottom here in the name of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach indeed says, Shishnei Chadarim Bebaalut Echad. Both rooms have to be in one under one ownership, which again throws out our second issue. So let me just sum up, because I know we threw out a few things here. Number one, if you're in the same house that's owned by you, the Shulchan Aruch would say if it's in one corner to another, you don't have to make another bracha. If you go from one floor to another, perhaps yes. The Rama says, even more lenient, no, same house, Even if you go from one floor to another, no problem. As long as the Mishnah Berurah adds, it's under one roof. Now the Ramah adds on a third leniency, and that is from your house to your sukkah. That's within the same house. So if you're in your house, and you're going from your attic to your second floor, to your first floor, to your basement, if you're a Ramah man, Ashkenazi, you don't have to make another bracha. However, now let's bring in the second issue. One second, Bruce. The second issue is what you all brought up, the apartment building. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach that I quoted here seems to say that in the same apartment building, you would have to make a second bracha. Why? It's not your ownership. You own your apartment, not another apartment. Even though you're under the same roof.
Yeah, but this business of owning apartments...
Hold on. However, say again? I'm sorry?
This business of owning apartments is highly unique to Israel in the sense that most accommodation, when you drive by an apartment building in Chutz Haaretz, it will probably, certainly to my experience, be owned all by one person and everybody's a renter. And nobody has property rights.
Interesting. So that would be a different situation. That maybe in that building you wouldn't have to make a bracha. I'll throw out, in a hotel where we usually paskin, you don't need an Eruv Chatzeros because you do not own your room.
There you go.
You probably don't have to make another bracha because it's all under one ownership, whoever the ownership is. If it's the entity of Holiday Inn, if it's the entity of the the Marriott. But in an apartment building, perhaps you would.
Is this time a factor? You know, you're walking...
No, time is not a factor.
So there's an hour separating between when you start and when you take an hour off to check your computer and the other
As long as you had bide'ah to continue, says the Ramah, who bide'ato le'echo b'makom acher, he does not put in a time factor as far as I remember.
Talking about apartment building, you have a vad of the building. So it seems to my mind, every person's got some responsibility for the whole building.
You have a responsibility on the public areas of the building, but that doesn't mean that the apartment under you has any rights in your apartment.
Yeah, this gets into the very complicated business of cooperatives versus condominiums.
Absolutely, absolutely. This would definitely be a very complicated area in terms of Hilchos Brachos. How do you define a cooperative versus a condominium? And all the various apartment buildings we have today. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach threw in a monkey wrench here. And indeed, I think it's something to think about. So once again, sum up, in the same room, you don't have to make another bracha. If you leave the room, it seems like the Shulchan Aruch would say yes. The Ramah would say no. If it's under the same roof, and under the same roof, you're okay.
When in doubt, because these are
rabbis. Number three, if it's your sukkah and your house, he also is mekel, which is a big kula, I think. And finally, we talked about the apartment building. Here we get into an iffy area. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach seems to say you do have to make another bracha because you're going from one owned area to another. Let's say your private apartment to the staircase, which is jointly owned. And others probably would say, maybe not. Maybe, you know, it's under one roof, it's good enough. Okay, that's in terms of the same building.
If you're not sure about these issues, you're sort of on a practical level. These are for abundance?
If you're not sure, we have a law, Safek Brachot Lahakel. However, I want to say something about Safek Brachot Lahakel that I want you all to hear. You're about to hear Shiurim on this issue where the Safek Brachot Lahakel thing was going out the window. Because Safek Brachot Lahakel is when you don't remember if you said a bracha or not. Not when you don't know what the bracha is, or do you need to make a bracha. In that case, it's not a suffix in the mitziyut, in the reality, that's a suffix in halacha.
Right.
And there's a difference between them. So if you don't know the halacha, ask a rabbi, ask a teacher, look it up yourself, go on the rabbi Google, do something to find out, what do I do? You don't have to leave yourself in a place of suffix. If you can mevarer a safek, you should, and you have to, actually, matter of fact. So therefore, that's what we're sitting around doing today. So the first issue is pretty simple. Shabbos morning in Ashkenazic shuls is a very commonplace in Chutz La'aretz because at the Kiddush, everyone's talking, and to try to get attention without a microphone is very difficult, and not everyone holds from the tzomet microphone. And therefore, it's very common in many shuls around the world that what do they do Shabbos morning before the Kiddush? So let's first tell all the people listening that in Chutz La'aretz to have a Shabbos morning without a Kiddush, you probably won't get too many congregants. So you need a Kiddush. Number two, where do they make the Kiddush? Where do they utter the words?
Where the whiskey bottles are.
No. Bad idea. Where? In the sanctuary. in the actual sanctuary. And then they go to another room to eat the Kiddush, because only there everyone will hear Kiddush. If you go into the outside where everyone's standing, it's going to be a problem. In a Sephardic shul, this is more of a problem. Because in a Sephardic shul, as we saw, if you paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, not every Sephardi paskins like the Shulchan Aruch, but if you do paskin like the Shulchan Aruch, then you got yourself a pickle, because he only was mekel from what? From one corner to another corner, not to two different rooms. So there you got a bigger question. Anyone listening or anyone around the table can tell me if in Sephardic shuls they're more machmir, you let me know. What's interesting is that in Israel, I have not yet seen a situation where they make Kiddush in the sanctuary and then they go outside, let's say, and start eating, even though perhaps it's like from the bayit to the sukkah. I've never seen that happen. I guess they feel that because it's not under one roof, as the Mishnah Berurah says here, you can't do it. But in Chutz La'aretz, where the shuls are huge, and you have a social hall within the shul, and a sanctuary within the shul with a common roof, very commonplace, just like the Rambam says. Now comes our problem. If you're in the same house, great. But you started your cup of coffee here, and you're continuing to drink it in the car. Do you make another bracha? You're no longer in the same building. You've left the common roof. You went into the public thoroughfare. You got into your private car. You've changed three domains in about 30 seconds. You went from the private domain to the public domain into your car, which we will call private domain for this year. I'm not going to say in Hilchos Eruvin it is. I'm just going to throw that out.
The Ramah says no.
Hmm?
The Ramah says it's your private ownership.
No, but the Ramah said that's only in a situation where you're in Bayit Echad, in one house. You're no longer in one house.
From going to the house of the sukkah, he said it's
correct. But he wasn't again. But the bayit correct. But from the bayit to the sukkah, he was talking about the bayits here, and the sukkah's next to the bayit. Here, you're going into your car. Your car, you walked out to the sidewalk. The sidewalk's not your ownership. And from the sidewalk, you went into your car. Now, again, I don't know what the Ramah would say about that situation where you have, let's say, a sukkah on the sidewalk. Getting out of the issues of gzela, which might apply to a sukkah on a sidewalk because you're actually stealing property from the city, maybe without their permission. Is that considered yes or no? But here, you're actually going from one place to another. What do we do?
I'd like to suggest, if you're not in a hurry, before you leave your house, you send off to Bracha. And then when you get into your car, you have in mind to say, I'm now starting another drink in another place. You make a...
Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there.
Before you get out of your car, you make an after Bracha. And you just don't rush through the whole thing.
We'll get there. We're going to get there. That's a good idea, perhaps, but we'll get there.
In America, the car's often in your garage. You haven't left your house.
Yes, that's true. But that's under one roof. Then that would be a very good solution because you're under one roof and you continue drinking and then you leave, you didn't really leave.
Take the roof with you, yeah.
You sort of take the roof with you. But I'm saying what's commonplace in our situations is that you take a coffee and you walk, you make a shahakal, let's say, in the coffee shop, then you walk outside with it. You have to make another shahakal. Now you've walked outside to a totally different area, not under the same roof, and it's not jointly owned. So what do you do?
The Erev is jointly owned by all of us.
Now, the Eruv allows us, for in terms of Shabbos, to carry in the common place. But it doesn't necessarily spill over to Hilchos Brachos. In other words, the definition in Hilchos Brachos is makom, place. Which we saw this, a machlokas. Does it mean corner to corner? Does it mean room to room? It does not spill over to Hilchos Eruvin, which talks about domains. Rishut HaYachid versus Rishut HaRabim versus a Carmelite, which is a Rishut HaRabim de Rabbanon. That's a different definition in Halacha. Domains versus place. These are two different things.
Can anything here be, if we get to the purpose of the bracha, if we want to connect us to thank God for the thing we're about to eat, and you know you're going to be traveling with your coffee cup, so you thank God for the coffee. So why does it now matter when you start changing your place? When you thank God for the coffee, you know you're traveling with it.
Trying to understand the assumption of your question. Why do you think the bracha before has to do with thanking God?
Because you're going to use something.
Okay, blessed be you God, King of the universe, who has created the fruits of the vine. Rei Priya Geffen. Did you thank God in that bracha?
Well, in your mind, I think you might be behind those words.
Okay, Bruce.
Thanks for
let's take a step back. Thank you. We have to take a step back, gentlemen. The Birkat Nehenim that we say before we eat is not thanking God. We Jews are very, very pessimistic people. We do not thank God until we eat the food and see it's delicious.
So
but if we eat the food and it's disgusting, we don't thank God.
So we're acknowledging
other religions say grace before the meal. They have a lot of optimism, but we're pessimistic.
So what are we doing now?
So let me explain what we do. We acknowledge the copyright on the food. Who created this food? God, when he created the universe. If you want to see the sugya about this, open up the sixth chapter of Meseches Brachos. The Gemara tries to bring psukim to explain why do you make a bracha before you eat, and eventually says, no pasuk, I got a logical assumption, and that is you cannot enjoy this world without a bracha. Namely, the bracha acknowledges that God is the ultimate creator behind this food. Yes, I actually baked the bread by taking the wheat and doing what I need to do with the flour, etc. But God put it into this world when he created it. That's the brachas before we eat.
So
it's like saying I'm acknowledging the copyright. The bracha after we eat is Thanksgiving. So you're not thanking God for the coffee.
So it's sort of the same
you're acknowledging that God created the coffee.
Acknowledging that God created this.
Right.
And now I step out. Yes, I'm not thanking. I'm acknowledging.
Yes.
I'm holding the cup. I'm drinking it. I acknowledge God the creator, and now I stepped out to the sidewalk.
So once you stepped out to the sidewalk, it seems that we're about to learn, you have changed your place, okay. And therefore, is your next sip of the coffee considered a new eating or a new drinking? Let's just call it that. Or is it the continuation of what you've done before? You're about to see four points of view on this issue. Is the original drink that you had in the coffee shop continuous? Or to be more precise, the drink you drink after you take five steps outside the coffee shop is continuing what you started there? Which common knowledge on the street probably say yes. Or no, you changed domains, you changed places, perhaps the coffee got a bit colder, and therefore it's not the same. It's no longer the same, just to give you an analogy of what I mean. There's a famous machlokas on Shabbos, famous machlokas, in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. What happens if you take water, if you take something off the blech that has water in it? When you take it off the blech, it was yad soledet bo. Okay, now you took it off for about 4 minutes, 5 minutes. Is it cold? No, it's not going to be cold.
Oh, it's colder.
Is it colder?
Yes.
Says the Shulchan Aruch, he can't put it back. Says the Ramah, as long as it's above room temperature, it's considered hot. So, obviously, what's the machlokas between them? The Shulchan Aruch, they don't have a machlokas, what's the temperature? They agree on the temperature. The Shulchan Aruch says, once you've taken it off, it's no longer considered cooked, it's considered served. No, therefore you can't put served food back on. Says the Ramah, no, once you take it off, it's considered cooked and hot until it becomes cold. It continues. That heat has residue for a few more minutes. So let's bring it back here. You took your sip of coffee in your house. Then you went outside, took 5-10 steps. You're walking to the shir, you're walking to somewhere, you're walking to rob a bank, wherever you're walking to. And on the way, you take another sip. Are you continuing the drinking from the house? And thus your bracha will continue. The acknowledgement in your house that God created the coffee continues. Or perhaps it's a new drinking. It's a new eating activity.
So that's why time is a factor.
Time is not a factor,
but
and we'll see.
Because
in Hilchos Brachos, it's not the time, it's the place. Once again. Let's see.
Later,
Bruce?
How can I say it's the same drinking?
I love the fact that around this table we heard different points of view, because there's four points of view in the Gemara on this question. Not one, four. Right to left, let's go. Amar Rav Yochanan, echad shinu yayin ve'echad shinu makom, ein tzarich levarech. I don't care if you're drinking wine, and I don't care if you're drinking coffee. You don't have to make another bracha. Amar Rav Yochanan, hu adin da'afilu. Lo dvarim she'ein tonim bracha la'achariyem, b'mekoma namin antzachim levarech. He says, even things that you don't have to go back to make a bracha achrona for, you don't have to make, even those things, you don't have to make another bracha. So basically, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you drink your coffee in your house, shakol niyeh bedvaro, you don't have to make another bracha. If you continue drinking that coffee, enjoy yourself. Okay? On the other side of the spectrum, go to the left. Rav Sheshet Amar, echad zeh ve'echad zeh tzarich levarech. Any food, you went from here to there, you left the, let's just say for the Ramos perspective, the common roof, you make another bracha. That's Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Sheshet's point of view. The two middle points of view are going to be very important to us. Anytime you get a source sheet and you see skinny versus fat, you know that the fat points of view are probably the ones that are going to bother us more. Let's go to the second one from the right. Yotir Rav Chisda v'kamer mishmein denavshei. Hada amar teshinoi b'makom tzarich levorech. Lo amarano b'dvarim she'in tunim bracha l'achareyen bimkoman. Aval dvarim she'atunim bracha l'achareyen bimkoman. Ein tzarich levorech. And there's a Tanya Kevati the Rav Chisda, a brisa that supports him. Chavarim she'yu mesuvim lishtodayin v'akulu rogahem v'chazru inan tzarichim levorech. And the Rabbanan, the majority opinion, says exactly the same thing. I'm going to do everyone. I thought you all knew Aramaic around this. No. Gentlemen, Rav Chisda says as follows. There's two kinds of foods we have. We have foods that the grace after Bruce, after the meals, you have to go back to where you started eating and bench there. And there's other foods where you can make a bracha achrona wherever you are. Now, here's the halacha according to Rav Chisda. When you eat bread, or from our perspective wine, you're supposed to make the bracha achrona, lechatchila, where you started drinking, where you started eating. So therefore, says Rav Chisda, if you're sitting at your Shabbos meal, lunch, and then it comes 1 o'clock, and you say, let's go to early mincha. Okay, let's go to early mincha. Everyone gets up and they go to early mincha. Then they come back and they continue eating the chulent. You have to make another bracha? No. Because bread, which is part of this meal, is something you have to go back to bench. So when they left, what did they have in mind? To come back, because we're coming back to bench there. And therefore, it's considered a continuous eating. So even if you take your piece of bread, you start it here and you go over there, you don't need to make another bracha in the second place because you have in mind to continue to come back here to make your bench. And if you don't come back here, you don't have to make another bracha. But things that you do not need to go back to your original place for your bracha achrona, such as water, chocolate bars, or whatnot, you would have to make another bracha. Because when you left, says Rashi, kegol mayim operot, water or fruit, she'ein te'unim bracha chashuva b'fnei atzman, they don't have a very important bracha, kegon shiva taminim, like shiva taminim, where what do we make after we eat one of the seven species of Israel? Alamichya, remain shalosh. Devadai kivan da'amad v'alach l'makom acher, because he got up and he moved somewhere else. What does Rashi say? I bolded it. Amidato zu higmar sudato. When you stood up after you ate your apple here, you finished your meal. You had no intention of coming back here. That's the nature of what you're eating. It's a snack. But a meal like a chulent with the challah and all that, you have an intention to come back, and therefore you don't have to make another bracha. That's point of view number three. So point of view number one is you never have to make another bracha. Point of view number two is you always have to make another bracha. Point of view number three says it depends what you're eating. If it's shahakol oriented, you do have to make another bracha. There goes your coffee, Bruce. Another bracha. But if it's bread, you don't have to make another bracha because when you got up, you're planning to come back. And even if you don't eventually come back, it's considered a continuation of your original meal. Just to finish out the last point of view is more machmir. The third from the right says, B'nei chavurash ayu metzavim lishtot. I love that Gemara. They were eating, they were drinking. Why would they get up? Not like today, where a bunch of, excuse me for saying so, slobs, you get up, you eat as you go with the crumbs falling down. But a chassan and kala came. You wanted to wish him a mazel tov. I love that Gemara. Beautiful. You would no one ever think of getting up in the middle unless a chassan kala comes. Beautiful. Obviously, I'm exaggerating. You have some need to get up. You don't need to make another bracha. On one condition, says the Gemara. K'sheinichu sham zaken ochale. I got up to greet the chasen kal with all the young people in the room. But the seniors can't get up. It's hard for them to get up, to sit down, to move, to go. So some people are still there. If you left people in your original place, you don't have to make an additional bracha. But if you didn't leave people in your original place, you do. And only with the certain foods that we mentioned earlier. So it has to be both bread or wine, things that have a very important grace after meals, plus you left someone behind. So to sum up today, Rabbi Yochanan says, when you take your coffee to go, you have to make another bracha. Rav Sheshet says you always have to make another bracha. But the two middle points of view are going to bother us next week, because one point of view says it depends what food you're eating. Is it a kind of food that you have to go back to make the grace after meals versus not? And finally, the fourth point of view says, Rav Yehuda, not only is it the certain points of food, not only the type of food, but did you leave someone behind? Those are the four points of view. And now we're going to have to plug it into our coffee, because now we got a huge problem. Except for Rabbi Yochanan, 3 out of 4 points of view in the Holy Talmud would say, you leave the house, you have to make another bracha, gentlemen. No one in the beginning of this year ever said to do that. Of course you don't have to. Three out of four here. We strike out. Everyone here was Rabbi Yochanan. Baruch Hashem. So the good news is Rabbi Yochanan saved everyone. So Baruch Hashem, the Kollel's reputation continues. The bad news is 3 out of 4 disagree. Another 3 disagree. We will continue next week to see how the post can deal with it.